Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 35. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
He set us up the bomb.
And Charles Caldwell.
Shut the hell up, you goddamn fairy.
Yeah, and apparently Navi this week.
Just taking my place.
And by fairy, I of course mean Navi.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
A little sleepy.
Yeah. I totally fell asleep watching television, like, at 10 o'clock. We get on recording around 10:30-ish. That was a poor idea. Because I woke up completely disoriented.
Where am I? Who are you?
Wake up.
Terrible.
Yeah, my sleep pattern has never been the same since we started recording at night.
Nope.
In the darkness.
We've basically become the Midnight Society.
Yeah,
Midnight Gamers.
They need to bring back that show, though. Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Absolutely. So horrifying episodes about pool monsters and clown arcades. And
what I didn't understand about that episode was they like moved a set of lockers, and in behind it was a door that went to an entire section of pool.
Yeah, no, they just had the space that they didn't need.
And the pool was like perfectly lit and like clearly maintained.
Yeah, the pool was like definitely been chlorinated like that week.
Yeah.
But there was like some skull monster and it smoked.
And
in there,
it was an invisible monster that could only be seen when you used whatever chlorine, or because it was covered in urine. And so
covered in urine.
So whatever they put in the pool water makes it show up.
Turns purple.
Yeah.
The part that always freaked me out, or the episode that always freaked me out, was there's this one episode where this kid apparently like fell off of a dam on his bicycle and died, and for whatever reason his bike was still like stuck like at the bottom of the dam, and then he would just be like this dead kid, this white, like completely powder white dead kid, like pointing at this kid in school. It's like, you.
It's, oh, like the, it's like the evil monkey from Family Guy. Only
my, yeah. I remember the clown arcade one that Charles said too.
Yeah, I remember that.
The guy in the mall or whatever.
Yeah, that was a good one.
There was the chameleon one with Tia and Tamara.
Yes.
It's like a classic.
There's so many.
It's like,
so many,
it's like interesting though when you bring that up to think that like that genre was so big and in our adolescence, like Goosebumps, and like,
yeah,
you know, like
it was Animorphs,
like, yeah, and Animorphs was like they're kind of different, but like, you know, it's like, yeah, that like semi child horror. It was like that. It was like that was like the Harry Potter of our generation.
Yeah.
R.L. Stein was like a friggin' god to me when I was a child.
Seriously, what was the one with the mask that doesn't come off?
Oh, The Haunted Mask.
Yeah.
Because the titles were really original, too.
Yeah. The graphics on them were the best, though.
Like, they stuck out.
On the front page, totally.
The Beast from the East.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, though, because, like, technology was so bad then. Like, that was the coolest thing. We'd go to the book sale, and you'd be like, oh, I gotta get this new Goosebumps at the book sale. Like, trying to ask your mom for, like, $9.99 so you can, like, get the...
No. Those books weren't even $9.99. I remember them being like $4.
Yeah, they were super cheap. Then you could get the crazy things and stuff. Remember, like, you could sell. It was, there was so much shit going on with that. It was like a pyramid scheme.
The choose your own adventures ones. Yeah. Do you remember
sell
those?
Sell them to everyone you know.
I think I own like 65 of those books.
You sell like 100 friendship bracelets, you get a friggin' Goosebumps book or something.
I had like 100 books, and I probably read like 10 of them. Like, you just collected them.
Yep.
Crazy.
Blast from the past right there. There's coming
out,
they're coming
choice,
out with new shows, though.
Was it only some of them that had the choice component in them?
Only some of them.
Yeah.
There was like, it was like a separate...
The holographic covers.
They were separately numbered, I remember.
Oh my god.
Yep, and then it was like, you would choose the... It would be like, turn to page 35.
You've been eaten by ants.
And then you'd read like the first page and be like, fuck, and you'd go back to the other one to see, like, you're like, I should have chose that one, like...
Yeah. I just read every ending in the entire book.
Just read it straight through.
Anyway. Getting into some news for this week. DayZ has sold 2 million copies.
Has anyone here played DayZ?
Yeah, I actually played it a bunch with Brandon. It's a lot of fun. It's super buggy, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's got a great concept to it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I know the original was like a mod, and that was huge, but you know, to go from a mod, like a game that was a mod for another game, to a standalone game and sell 2 million copies, that's, you know, that's pretty.
Yeah, I'm surprised crazy. When I saw that. Yeah, I was pretty surprised. It's cool. It's a good game. It's really buggy. It's so buggy that, and it's like really realistic. And the bugs actually, I feel like in some way sort of make it more realistic. It's like super hard. I can't shoot anything. Like the zombies are running through walls. Like, I mean, it's kind of like gives an advantage to the world. So it's I'm surprised. I mean, I think it'll do well once it, like, kind of updates. But for it to sell $2 million and the zombies still don't, like, get stopped by walls, I'm pretty surprised.
I think it's still in beta, too, right?
It's alpha, I think. I don't even know.
Yeah, okay. It's not actually, it's like a green, not a green light, but like a...
It's like early access, essentially.
Yeah, early access.
Yeah, that's crazy. At least you know that they're not just going to pick... They're just going to take the money and drop it.
Yeah, 2 million people.
Have you guys seen anything about Sony's new, like, zombie MMO? It's like H1Z1?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be on PC, and then I think they're talking about putting it on PS4, too. But I think it's along the same lines. With everything, but it sounds like you can like build entire like communities and shit's crazy. You can kill people and take all their stuff.
Yeah.
Like destroy like civilizations and rebuild them, and like in the entire environment is going to be destructible. And
I think it's a really cool idea, and I think that if they can make it an MMO and make it like not be like griefing, constant griefing, like DayZ, then I think it could be good. Yeah.
It'd
be cool if you could like play as zombies and get like a, you know, but have like not like your standard zombies, but have like crazy like brute zombies and stuff like that, so you can upgrade your zombiness, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
How is it much different than DayZ though? Because it just kind of looks like they wanted their own version.
I think DayZ is limited by whatever server you're playing on, so you can't, you know, you couldn't have like thousands of people playing at once. Whereas, whereas if they create an MMO, then you know it's one giant persistent world.
Yeah. Right now, I think DayZ is capped at something in like the order of like 30 to 50 people, something in that, or I can't remember. It's been a while since I played it, so that's kind of like a pain. And the world's pretty big, so like even if you play on a server that's full, I only saw probably 3 or 4 people and playing it for like 8 to 10 hours. Like,
yeah, I guess that makes sense. Even when I was playing that other one, the universally was sucky. I think that was maxed out at like 50 people too, so.
Yeah. And I think the thing that makes these games so unique is not like the zombie or any of that survival stuff, because there's lots of games like that. I think it's like the realism of the community and the fact that like, first off, when you die, you're dead. And the second off, like, Daisy does a really good job of having like in-game communication. So you'll see people like in a house and you'll be like outside and you're like, yo, I see you in there. Like, don't shoot me, you know, and it's like very realistic. Like people are like, do you need anything? Like, you know, like, what do you got? And you're like, kind of like, you know, I ran into some people and they're like, what do you have? And, you know, I'm like trying to like not tell them what I have because I don't want them to try to kill me. So, yeah. And it's like very realistic. Like, I'm like trying to play it off, but at the same time, I don't want to sound too dumb so that they don't, you know, so it's like, there's like a lot of social aspects to the game, which I think make it really unique. And I think the genre is going to explode, and I think that's why Sony's doing this. It's kind of like one of those things where like they need to update it. And a lot of those ones that we saw on YouTube, I can't remember the name of that guy, the Daisy Sniper, whatever his YouTube channel. He plays on like ones that like servers that have mods where you can like have helicopters and cars and things like that, which I mean, it's implemented in Daisy to have these things, but they don't have them now, which sucks. So. Yep. Indestructible environments, and like those are the kind of things that like I think that style of game is going to be really cool.
Definitely.
I don't know about investing a lot of time in a game where when you die you lose everything, but I mean, there's ways around that, right? Like if you build structures and you can go back, and so it's like cool. It's cool.
Yeah, I think I think if they do make an MMO aspect, then there's more likely to be kind of like maybe experience elements or elements that make death like
persist,
less,
yeah.
You know, more user or player friendly than, and whereas you'd have like the hardcore people who are going to go play DayZ and then just cry themselves to sleep when they die.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I mean the game has to be tailored in a way that, you know, you can't spend more than like a day or something getting things and then you max out. Otherwise,
yeah,
you know. So that's kind of how DayZ is right now. I mean, it's still infantile, but like you can get all the cool items, mostly, you know, going to a couple places that are specific. So if you die, like, you could always go back. I mean, it might take you 2 hours to run there or something, but it's not something where you'd play for a week and then die and lose a week's worth of shit. You just lose a day's worth, you know, so
right.
I think that kind of helps its popularity in that sense. So that's crazy, though. 2 million copies.
A lot of dough. I'll talk about this. Another big announcement. Probably the worst thing ever to happen, but
to mankind.
So basically, two companies that actually won the awards for worst company in America are partnering. So Comcast, may be partnering with EA to be able to stream games to cable boxes. So it looks like initially it would just be, you know, kind of like your mobile style games, stuff like, you know, relatively simple, not like overly graphically intense games, but basically the end of, you know, I'm sure it was in the Book of Revelations for the end of time. So
what would be the point of having any like non-graphically intense game streamed to a cable box? I just don't get it.
Well, I think that's like the initial thing will be that, but you know, they kind of want to build their way up. They're basically, you know, Xbox is trying to become the cable box, and Comcast is trying to make the cable box become the Xbox. You know, they're just kind of attacking it from a different angle.
So EA would be like, it's just ridiculous.
And Hitox, the only controller you'd be able to use, at least to begin with, would be a tablet.
Yeah.
Because when they started talking about like FPS and all that other stuff, like potentially going to more action-based games, I was like, no thank you. I do not want, like, the fake joysticks on anything.
You know, my Comcast cable box right now is slow enough as it is. I don't see that thing playing a game anytime soon. I think if they were to do that, they would have to invest like a lot of money in in new cable boxes and stuff. I guess maybe you could like upgrade, but if
maybe
you were going
to, this would be an impetus for them to just develop fiber. If people are like, yeah, I can't play my game, you asshole. Ah.
I think, you know, you would have to upgrade to like a, you have to pay more for like a beefed up cable box. And at that point, why not just buy a, you know, a console, you know, if that's what you're into.
Right.
Just unless they can figure out some way to eke out like every last drop of performance out of their cable boxes, and I don't know, I just don't see it catching on.
No, and I mean, like, we're gonna see it on the Sony side too with PlayStation Now, because they're doing that whole streaming rental service,
right.
Which is in beta right now, and I haven't heard about performance of it at all. All people are talking about are like prices and whatnot, but performance seems to be like the one thing that I'm probably the most interested in.
Yeah, I think anytime any streaming thing, I just have my doubts about it, especially in America today, because latency for most people is just, it's not short enough that you could play, stream a game and have your feedback go back in real time and have the video stream back to you. I just don't see that happening. I mean, unless you're in like a major city right next to a thing. I mean, I guess if there's any company that could do it, it'd be Comcast, because they, you know, they control the network, but it would still be really hard. I don't know. I'm doubtful.
Yeah. I don't see it happening. I don't really, I don't see it being a big hit.
Yeah. I can't really say anything without going off on a tirade about how bad Comcast is. So. I don't even have Comcast right now. That's how angry.
So,
it's bad all around. It's like, I can just imagine I'm going to get like Madden 2015 streamed to my cable box for like $100 a month. And it's going to be like, it's going to look like Tecmo Bowl with like Tom Brady's name on it. Lock me in for a 4-year contract where it goes to like $150 a month next year.
Yeah, maybe you'll pay a monthly subscription, and it's basically just gonna start the video game like industry all over again. It's gonna start with like Atari based, like Custer's Revenge. And
also, this isn't on our list of news articles, but I'm gonna throw this out there. Did you guys see that there was a there's a new version of the NES system that's being released?
It was like $500.
$500 in the best
part. I didn't read the article, yes. So I have
Alex,
no idea
I'll
why.
I'll just explain it. So, like, okay. So there's a new system coming out, or like a new adaptation that plays both NES games and I think Famicom, whatever the older system was.
Famicom, yeah.
So it plays those game systems, and it's got like the, I guess the selling point is that it plays the old cartridges, but it will like hook up to both high def and like normal def TVs, so you can like hook it up to like, you know, HD TVs, and it will give you what they claim is the maximum like digital like sharp like output, like the best possible output you can put on a TV instead of like having to go through composite or something. But it's $500. I remember just like I was just reading it going, why didn't I think of this first? Like, I feel like you could probably develop the whole NES system now in like a day for like a YouTube video. And
what makes no sense is if you're gonna go that direction, just fucking buy a Wii U.
Exactly.
Like,
no, that's yeah.
And download every single NES game that's ever been made.
Or
for the most part.
Yeah, so what's the point of it being $500? Like, who's going to buy that?
It's people that have all the old cartridges and, you know, they want to play them. And they probably, I'm guessing you won't have to blow on them. Who knows if that's true or not. But I'm just going to assume that that doesn't come with it, because that would suck. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is you also need to own the cartridge. So, like, which, yeah. I mean, it's not, like, out of the question that you would have, because, I mean, I have a lot of games and stuff, but, like, you know, if you're going to spend $500 on a system, you better be able to play more than just the games that you used to own.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I think if anyone's going to buy that, like, I think if there's, most people, if they're going to play an old game, they're probably going to play an emulator, to be honest. So yeah. The few people who would buy this would have, like, a lot of, like, leftover game, like, a lot of old games, a lot of old cartridges, so they can probably justify
spending
$500.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be that guy who had the largest game collection in the world.
Yeah.
He's like, sweet, I'm gonna get my system right away.
And so then I like started thinking about it, and I was, you know, thinking like, how did they price this, right? Like some guy was like sitting down, he's like, he comes in with a business model, he's like, I got this system, plays all the games, and then someone looks like, someone across the table says, we can sell this for $500 a piece. You know? It's like, and they're like, oh, yes.
I like what you're thinking.
This is ridiculous. I mean,
maybe they only made like 100 of them, so yeah. Their production cost was really high.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe it's, you know, if you make less, then you can sell it as like a rarity thing. So speaking of this, this is a complete tangent. It's not game related, but it is related. I think like Wu-Tang Clan, one of the guys from that, they made an album and they like made one.
Yeah,
they made one.
Yeah.
They made one.
That's
only one.
One disc.
Like, just, they made one CD, and then they're like, this is it. They're, like, not going to make it digital. Like, the person who buys it is, like, the only person who gets it.
What?
So it's going to be pirated across the internet.
The thing is, like, they'll know who pirated it.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who bought it. But, yeah, I thought that was ridiculous. So that was kind
of... That is ridiculous.
It's nuts. Crazy. They're like, we wanted to make a piece of art.
So, that's going to go for a lot of money right there.
It's like 10 grand or 20 grand or something insane. I mean, that's not even much, comparatively speaking.
That's nonsense.
Anyways.
Next thing. Activision Blizzard, right? I think commits $500 million to Destiny.
So ridiculous.
The game, which is nuts.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money to put down.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think Activision has the money to spend on it, but it's kind of... You know, they basically said they want to turn Destiny into the new Halo, and I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's not to be punny, but it's destined to be that, just because of mm-hmm. Bungie. But you know, that's so much money. I forget how much it was for. I mean, but to put it in perspective, you know, money doesn't necessarily mean success, because if you look at like Elder Scrolls Online, I'm pretty sure they spent close to that for, you know, to promote that game, and it's, you know, kind of been a, you know, it's really fumbled. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it could go either way, but, you know, it's good to know that they're committed to really doing what they have to make it succeed.
It's mind-blowing to me that they are investing that much money with the mentality that they're going to make more than, like, I mean, how much are they going to make, you know? Like,
that's true, yeah.
Are they going to make $1 billion? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like a long-term investment too, because I mean, I think if you think about it, if the first one succeeds and does really well, then that means they don't have to promote the second one as much.
Sure.
You know, because like if people buy it, and especially I think it's really clear with like the Halo franchise, because Halo 1 just sucked so many people in that they did, you know, it didn't matter if Halo 2, 3, or 4 were utter shit, because people were just going to buy it and play it like crazy. You know, so I think if they could really capitalize on this first one, then it's going to turn into Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny's not it's not going to be a sub game, is it? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay, so I could see, I mean, with Activision being part of it, or having maybe even any say in it, I could see there being a lot of like DLC stuff, and like, I don't know, because like they were talking about it being a lasting 10 years or something, the game universe, which was that's a long time to dedicate a.
You know,
Activision has built Destiny as a next-generation game that will constantly change over its predicted decade-long lifespan.
You know, I would have said that that's crazy, but WoW has lasted for 10 years. You know, it's not that far-fetched.
Is Destiny going to be a genre-defining game? I mean, WoW was the first like MMO.
WoW. I mean, that aside, WoW was basically an EverQuest clone, like. Down to the T, you know, is very, very much a clone of EverQuest. So I don't think it wasn't that they redefined the genre. They just kind of tweaked little aspects to get it perfect. You know, they put so much polish on it that people couldn't, you know, there was nothing you could compare it to. And I think that,
yeah.
you know, Bungie another developer that's renowned for their polish and their ability to, you know, take something that could be really shitty and really make it into like a game that's going to stand up for a long period of time. And I think that, you know, there's no one better to do that than them.
Yeah, that's true. But I think if you also like think about Blizzard, they've done a really good job of taking games that are extremely complicated and like dumbing them down sort of for the masses. Like MMOs were too hard, they were too tough, they're too complicated, no quests, no idea where you're going, die, lose everything. And they made that so much nicer. Same thing with, you know, if you think about real-time strategy games, they were so complicated back in the day and just overwhelming for the like average person. So it's hard, I think, for a company to do that with a first-person shooter. I mean, that's a huge task to do. Like, you know, how do you make something more likable than like Halo? Even as much as like I didn't really like it that much, I mean, I still liked it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to take a subset that has already reached its potential. But at the same time, like, people have been waiting for a new Halo, you know? They know that people are waiting for that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's...
I think what I'm nervous about is, like, I don't feel like I've seen enough of it. Like, I mean, I know we know, like, a lot of general, like I don't know, broad stuff about the game, but, like, no intricacies, no details about, like, exactly how... I mean, we know there's going to be some sort of, like, trade system. There's going to be... I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
I just feel like to say that universe is going to last for 10 years... and have it be an FPS, like, I don't know, like, that they would have to continuously, like, add storyline, like, the storyline would have to be, because, there is, like, a background, you know, underlying,
well, the way they talk about it makes it seem like you're going to be expanding out of the space and expanding territory and, like, reclaiming. Yeah. In that respect, it makes me think of like Planetside 2. But who knows whether that will, I don't know, who knows whether that design will be a success. It sounds like everyone is kind of running towards the EverQuest dynamic world model.
Yeah, I think there's been a, especially in the MMO or like more persistent world games, there's been a major pushback against kind of the theme park model that you have in like WoW or a lot of the older MMOs, and it seems like Destiny is trying to be kind of the next evolution in that, and you definitely see it in like EverQuest Next, where everything is dynamic. So I would definitely see them creating something dynamic, something you know, especially it has to be, if they want the last 10 years, then it's gonna have to change over those 10 years, whether it be through expansions or what. But they have released a few gameplay videos, and it looks like a really unique game, because it's kind of somewhere between Halo and, like, I don't even know what, but it's just really,
you know. Borderlands 2.
Yeah, it does remind me a lot of Borderlands 2. You know, you like, fly, and you can, there's almost, like, spells, too. It just seems really unique, and I think the...
Battle Mage!
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm gonna have to play it to really know if, like, I'd be able to stay interested in a, like, one single first-person shooter game for that long, or even, you know, a year, like, yeah. 1 year,
yeah.
Let alone 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I get burnt out on first-person shooters, like... pretty quick.
Yeah,
I guess it's just surprising to me too, because since Activision and it's Activision Blizzard, and it's just surprising to me that if they're going to invest $500 million into a game, that they aren't also putting it on PC. I don't know. It's just very strange.
Well, I don't think they've entirely ruled it out yet.
Yeah, they haven't ruled it out, but I mean, they're not even anticipating it for the immediate period. So.
I mean, I think part of it too is like it's a bit like, I think the game is being developed for next gen consoles, and
yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like one of those defining games to really potentially bring people over from, like, to interests, maybe some of those PC gamers that have had experience in, you know, giant world MMO type games and then actually potentially buy a console if they don't already have one, but
yeah,
bridging those gaps.
Well, this is also pretty interesting. So an analyst predicted, or is predicting, that you know, to help combat kind of the lost sales against the PS4, that Microsoft will unbundle the Kinect in order to reduce the cost. Since that's kind of like one of the main selling points for the PS4 over the Xbox yeah. One, is that it's $100 less. So. But I don't understand why they didn't do this from the get-go. But
yeah,
yeah, I can tell you, as someone who hasn't bought either of the systems, this is kind of one of my major reservations from the Xbox. I mean, I feel like I've been interested in the Xbox, but I'm like, every time I think about it, I'm like, it's so much money, it's so much more. I'm just like, there's no way, like, it's just too much. Yeah. It's like, so that's, I mean, we'll see how that works out, but I agree, it's crazy. There's just no reason. I mean, I don't need to connect.
Well, the Xbox, like, the Microsoft guys were so adamant to begin with that it's like, no, Kinect, like, you know, Xbox One is the Kinect is like a huge part of it. So then we didn't want to take it, like, we didn't want to take it away because it's like one, it's like, you know, a major component of what they based everything around. But at the same time, it's like, well, not that they're not selling consoles, but if they want to stay competitive, I think it's going to be the...
Well, I think that they've, like, realized that, like, it's clearly not that big of a part of the console for, like, the consumer, because if it was so big a part of the console, then you'd have no problem spending the money for it.
Yeah.
And they don't... I mean, they've done some kind of cool features or whatever with all the, like, you know, the talking to the Xbox, like, and all that stuff, but they're kind of gimmicky things.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be creative enough for me to go, like... You know, I could easily say, oh, I want the PS4, but it doesn't have a thing cool like the Kinect. But, like, no one's saying this, so...
Right. Unless I can go, Xbox, get me a beer, then I don't really need it. It turns into, like, a Transformer. Rolls across the floor. And then it kills you.
It doubles as a micro brew. You can just... brew it on inside the Xbox.
You just add hops and yeah.
The loading screen has been going on for 3 weeks. Complete.
Terrible.
Just add water.
This next news. It's
about to get real political up in here.
Real political. Turtle Rock, the developer of Evolve, the community manager, has been let go for comments he made regarding the whole Donald Sterling controversy on Twitter. And the guy's name is Josh Olin, and he's been removed from his position. And I guess, well, I think we can just say the Twitter post.
Right? Yeah. Say what he actually said.
Okay.
Well, do you want to explain? Well, I'm assuming everyone knows the Donald Sterling situation. But
Donald Sterling made racist comments. He's an owner of the.
He still is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. He's now been banned from, like, all activities, but he still owns the team. So he's the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, and he made some comments. So he had, like, he's still married, but, like, he doesn't, like, have, he's not with his wife anymore or something. And so he has a girlfriend who's this young girl who, like, wore a wire and like recorded him saying some, like, racist type things about her bringing black people to the game and taking pictures with black people, and said he didn't like it, basically. And this, like, leaked to the public, and it was a pretty big news story. And I think that gives context to his post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the exact Twitter post was, here's an unpopular opinion. Donald Sterling has the right as an American to be an old bigot in the security of his own home. He's a victim.
That's Twitter exploding.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think, well, I think my opinion on this is, I actually agree with this tweet, but at the same time, it's kind of funny because, well, I mean, it's the guy deserves it. I mean, this is what happens when you own a $1 billion team. You can't make racist comments even in the confines of your own home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just stupid. I understand all that, but at the same time, like, you know, this, you know, I agree with this, but it's kind of ironic because it's almost like meta, right? Like, this guy made a post which was like an unpopular opinion about an unpopular opinion. And now he got fired or let go or whatever. So it's kind of very ironic. But it's the same with this guy, right? Like, you know, he has the right to have his own opinion about this guy having his own opinion, but like, doesn't mean you got to tell everybody about it or say it.
Yeah, I think if you're a community manager, then save that for when you're not doing that job. But your whole point as a community manager is to interact with the community and not get like political or go into open water like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the court of public opinion in the United States is not a due process at all. So.
Yeah.
You just have to realize that. I mean, when you own a team or you are a part of a team, and if you own a basketball team that's worth $1 billion, even what you say in your house will affect your, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the same with a job, though. You know, you can't run around, you know, naked in the streets and expect not to get fired from your job. Just although that is against the law, so there's different.
Not everywhere.
No. If you are not. Like, there's a town, I forget which town near here is, but you can be completely naked as long as you're not drawing attention to your genitalia.
What? Where is this?
So as long as you're basically not, like, humping someone, like...
You're, like, walking around naked and the cop's staring at you and then you point at your junk and he's like, dude! And he runs over and he arrests you.
Basically, yeah.
Then you can't go topless in New York City, so...
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
Steve's moving to New York City.
So confused now.
There's too much going on right now.
I can go topless in Cambridge, so.
All right. Well,
but basically, it's just a ridiculous whole. I mean, the Donald Sterling thing is total bullshit. That guy's a dick, but this one is just it's just very bizarre.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone who's like, yeah, Donald Sterling, you know, I mean, the guy was kind of an ass, and, you know, I think that this guy just, you know, he tried to voice his opinion, and for that, he wasn't wrong. He was just wrong for, you know, doing it as a community manager, being someone who works for a company, your whole job is to help, you know, facilitate communication with the community and your company, and that's not the position to be voicing your opinion on.
Absolutely. I mean, it is America, and you do have a right to have an opinion. But when your job is your perception,
yeah,
yeah,
it's just silly.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
It's just like it's also like kind of not to go off on a kind of an estranged tangent, but it's also kind of a testament to like the way like society hasn't coped with like technology sort of like being so prevalent. Like, everyone, like, I mean, the girl was wearing a wire. She probably had a cell phone. You know what I mean? It's just, like, everyone has a microphone on them. You know, everyone has Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, like, sometimes people haven't, like, caught up to the fact that, like, you know, just because you say something doesn't mean it's private anymore.
Yeah, right? That's true.
You can be recorded anywhere.
Yeah.
And the girl that actually did it is a bimbo idiot.
Yeah. She's, like, atypical, like, you know.
Right.
Kept woman, like,
yeah,
she's like,
the only time I ever saw her, she was wearing some weird like face visor and like roller skating in like hot pants.
Well, what I thought was funny is that she was technically the archivist for Donald Sterling. He was like creating, you know, he was actually recording like his memoirs or something. Her job, she was like hired by him to you know, to record what he said and like archive it and stuff. But you know, the fact that they clearly called her his girlfriend, like, you know, that was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and also it was like ridiculous, like cause she had that interview with I think Barbara Walters or somebody. Mm. I don't remember who she did an interview on, like, you know, national television. And she said, like, you know, I'm like his best friend, I'm his confidant. I'm like, look up the definition of confidant. It's like, pretty sure you're the opposite. Let's go to the thesaurus and look at antonyms.
I think you blew it.
So, although the whole story is like one of her friends got the but sure, whatever. So
yeah,
ridiculous.
Anyway, so unfortunately for Evolve, they have to find a new community manager, but
they have to evolve.
Oh, and speaking of evolving into mega monster creatures. with Godzilla coming out in a week and a half or so, which looks awesome, by the way. I'm actually very excited for
this. I'm just seeing it for Bryan Cranston.
we're just gonna kind of bullshit about Godzilla and monster movies and games and yeah, so the new Godzilla movie actually looks like, I mean, it looks pretty, like, fairly serious.
Yeah.
I mean, they may be baiting you with the commercials, but compared to, like, the, whatever, 1998 version or whatever.
Oh, God.
That one I did not get, like, the serious vibe from. This one seems like, you know, the whole city's gone to shit. It's, like, post-apocalyptic, like... Stuff is torn apart, you know, people are actually, like, super scared about it.
There's no Matthew Broderick. It's a big plus.
Yeah. There's no radioactive worms.
So it's not quite as scary.
When Heisenberg explodes, you know something's going on.
I think sometimes with movies, there's, like, they make the trailer way better than the actual movie, and you just, like, get disappointed. But I feel like this movie just generally, you know, with the caliber of cast they have, it just seems like it'd be tough for them to screw it up. But
Elizabeth Olsen's in it. That means it's good.
And we decided when we think it's Mothra or Rodan. I think it's Mothra.
It looks like Mothra, but
who the hell's Rodan, Charles?
The pterodactyl creature.
Oh, okay.
Charles
kind of does look like a pterodactyl in the preview.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just looked like a moth to me. It looked like a bird or something.
A ptero.
I guess we'll find out.
I feel like that's like the selling point for me now. I'm like, I gotta find out. It's gonna be like a dude in a hang glider, and be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
it's gonna be like Jurassic Park 3, or like the very beginning of that movie.
Alan Grant.
They're making Jurassic World, I think. Oh, sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does sound awesome.
What is
actually.
What is this?
Dinosaurs are just everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be like in the future, I think. It's kind of like dinosaur apocalypse.
It's crazy.
With the new Godzilla movie, do you think they'll make a game out of it?
Probably, but a shitty one.
Yeah. Probably terrible.
I would honestly, like, I would hope if they're gonna do it that they don't have you play like a human. I hope you just get to play Godzilla. Because that's a game that I would play. Just, like, tearing apart the city.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Destruction. It'd be like the that Rampage.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They should make a new Rampage.
Dude, I was gonna say those are my exact words. They really need to make a new Rampage, like a three-dimensional one. Like, I remember they made one. I think it was for Nintendo 64 or something.
Yeah.
It was 3D, but it was still like a 2D side scroller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, if they made like a 3D one, totally destructible environment, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it actually would be really cool.
Be a pretty big world.
Yeah.
Eat the people, don't eat the toilets, don't eat the dynamite in the houses. I don't know why there's dynamite.
You know,
because you're dealing, because he's attacking insurgent buildings.
That seems to have been like a kind of like a genre that's died down, like the, you know, that destructive games. Like, I don't know. I can't think of any recent ones.
No. The one that I think of that is kind of on the same level is Primal Rage.
Because
you're like a giant.
It was like a dinosaur fighting game.
I played the shit out of that.
With a gorilla that burped.
And there was one that farted too.
And farted. He would stand on his head and it would go, and a fart cloud would just float at you.
And then you could grab the people and eat them and gain health.
Yeah, because that was one of the whatever mini game type things where it was like you had to eat as many people as possible. I remember it was like, I think it was Talon was the Velociraptor or something, and he was the one to be because he was like much faster than anybody else.
Yeah, there were two. I think there were two raptors, and there was like one like a T-Rex thing, and there were a bunch of weird things. It was a fun game. I had that on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I don't think I owned it, but I definitely rented it or borrowed it.
Yeah, it's at the arcade too.
Yeah, that game was good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of, like, more recent ones. I mean, there were a lot of, like, mech games, which were kind of the same premise, but not quite, you know?
Yeah. I'm picturing one in my head, but I can't think of what it was.
I think that would be cool, though, like a sim game, or kind of like a... you know, a sandbox sim game where you create a monster and then you just go and destroy things. Like, that could be really cool. You know, I would play the shit out of that if they did it well.
Spore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not shitty after, like, the first 10 minutes.
Does the newest SimCity have that as one of the disasters? Because I remember the original SimCity. There's, like, flood, tornado, there's all that stuff. But then you could also get, like, a giant monster that would come through and tear apart your city.
Giant Cyclops laser beam robot thing or something. I played the new SimCity a bit, but I don't remember if I ever got... I definitely didn't see any monsters, but I don't know if I got that many disasters in general. Hmm. They were really prevalent in the old SimCity. Like, they happened all the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm reading right now.
The game was a disaster, by the way, so... There was no need for disasters.
I'm reading a little bit more about Primal Rage right now, and apparently one of I think it was the Monkey Chaos has a golden shower urination.
Oh yeah, yeah. That is fantastic.
That game was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, those destructible games. I just don't see them.
No, everything's like a racing game, or you have to be the person that's like gonna save the day, or you know, whatever. People just they just don't make destructible.
I wonder if it's like you know, I just wonder why, if there's like some sort of stigma against creating a game like that, because I mean, we clearly have no problem with the game where you shoot people in the face and their head explodes, but. Is that, are we, you know, is destroying cities, are we on a too grand of a scale by doing that? I don't know.
I mean, like, I don't know if it has something maybe to do with, like, just what's happening in, like, in the world at that
time. Right, would you be classified as a terrorist for having fantasies of destroying cities in a game?
Let's get the list of all the people who bought this game.
Like, they're like, I really enjoy turning into a giant lizard and kicking the shit out of buildings until they collapse.
I'm gonna do it in real life now.
Yeah, that's true though. I mean, I think some of it's a little sensitive, but I think, no, I don't think so. I think in a situation like that, I think those kind of games lend themselves better to like two dimensional, and I think they tried to be three dimensional and they just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
I think it was more of a function of the genre of style of game than it was sort of like a social stigma. I mean, I think, yeah, they don't want to have games now where you're like blowing up buildings and like flying planes. You know, I think that like there are some like kind of like that may have been like, sort of semi acceptable in like older games that are not anymore. But
I think this actually could be like a good reason for like you know, motion control. Like if you played with the Kinect or something and you like literally could destroy cities by moving around, I feel like that'd be really cool. But
Did you play, did you guys play the Star Wars Kinect game?
Oh, no.
At all?
No, I didn't.
There was a, you could actually be, one of the parts was you were a Rancor, and you just went through destroying buildings and, like, completely tearing apart, like, whole sections of stuff, and,
that was cool.
And that was kind of, like, that was the point of that challenge game, or that section of the game.
Yeah, I feel like that would lend itself a lot better, because, I mean, I don't understand, I don't know how you would make good controls for, like, a controller or a PC to be able to knock down buildings and stuff, you know, there'd kind of have to be, like, a side thing. But if you, like, physically could swing and kick and, you know, walk around and stomp on things, that'd be cool.
I mean, I think the other question is, you know, has the gamer, you know, just the type of games that people are expecting, has that evolved to the point where these kind of destruction games just wouldn't hold people's attention?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true.
For very long.
I think that, you know, destructible environments might kind of be a selling point to a game, but they're not necessarily something that's going to keep you engaged in the game.
Yeah,
right. Agreed. They should, I mean, they make so many, like, just digital-only, like, you know, PSN or Xbox Live games that for $10, I would totally spend $10 to be a monster and destroy, like, cities.
Yeah, I'm, like, ready to strap my Wii remote to my hands and my feet, like Tim said, start kicking and smashing, play Rampage, climbing up the building with my hands and my feet, and then kicking in the doors and smashing and grabbing people and stuff.
That would be awesome.
That would be good.
We should just make it. Could happen.
Yeah. I think we'll do it with a Kinect, but make it so that you have to be facing the way you want to punch. So basically, you know, people would be like punching each other out while they played co-op.
It's like literally the old Rampage, but you're just like punching. When you have to punch, you have to punch your pants.
All right, well, we got dibs on that. So if you make that game, give us credit.
Yep. Royalties. Right here.
At least put us in the credits, or name, like, the guys that you eat out of the buildings on the train.
After us. I'd settle for that.
I want my face on a character in the game. That's what I want. I want to make the face from the ring from the girl in the closet. Just because I like to bring that face out as much as possible. Anyway. I think that'll bring us right into our top five this week, which is the top five worst movie monsters. Which we put together a list of really terrible things. So number one, I think Charles put this down.
I did. It's a Guillermo del Toro movie, well, that was a mouthful, called Kronos, and the monster that I chose was the golden bug that latches itself onto the hands of people in the movie and basically turns them into a vampire. And because the reason why I chose this particular creature is because it's just so completely, like, lifeless. It's just, I mean, the bug digs into them, does all these horrific things, and then that people turn into vampires, but they're totally useless vampires. There's no reason for them at all. It's just this golden bug, and that's it.
Speaking of Guillermo del Toro, we should put Mama on this list.
Oh,
but I mean, Mama was at least kind of creepy, but
she was
equally
creepy.
Useless. Her name is Mama.
That was with the two little kids in the woods, right?
Yeah, and Jamie Lannister.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that movie.
I don't know his real name.
Jamie Lannister's fine. Stump Hand.
Peter Dinklage's brother.
In real life.
Number two. I put down this
because is the best one. Yeah.
The worst movie monsters is every giant Power Rangers enemy. Because
oh, absolutely.
Can we include Rita and Lord Zedd and
Yes.
What about the movie with the other villain at the end there?
What other villain?
In the actual Power Rangers movie, there was like some villain that it's just ridiculous. The ooze guy. I don't remember. I remember watching it and being like, why?
I just remember she used to throw her like staff down. Well, first of all, the Power Rangers would fight this enemy in normally and on the ground, and then they'd be like on the ground like. And it was just like
every episode they fought it on the ground for some reason.
And then Rita would be like, "Now take them out," and she'd throw her staff from the moon to Earth, and she must have had some crazy javelin arm. She threw it like a very very long distance, and then she'd be like, "Grow." And then they'd get huge, and they were always awful because it was just the same thing, except the set just got smaller.
Magic wand, make my Goldar
Like didn't she always like bake him up in like clay?
There's that weird white guy with like the little monocle that like made the creatures, and then
and it's like, and you know, like they never figured out that like didn't work. They're like, I got a good idea. Let's make a monster. We'll send it down there. It'll get big, and we'll fuck him up. And then like after like 50 times, you think they're gonna like send down like fire or something? Like,
yeah.
10.
I think the worst part though were the putties, because they were just man, those distorted faces, like they were like, I guess they were supposed to be like the failed experiments. That's what I always figured they were.
Yeah, they're like foot soldiers on fucking bath salts or something.
And they just moved like they were like they're on bath salts, because they were like, ooh, they always had their hands up like, ooh. They didn't, like, fight. They just, like, jumped around like lunatics. Talk about
bad times. Like, they should make, like, a real Power Rangers, right? Like, the Power Rangers should just stand like, what the fuck? Like, really? Like, how
they... I'm just gonna say, Rita's full name is Rita Repulsa.
Really?
Which I did not know. I just looked that up.
I feel like that might be a trivia one night, so I'm going to remember that.
Yep, Rita Repulsa. Long ago, Zordon sealed the evil Rita Repulsa away in a space dumpster.
I have a headache! Why don't I ever get to win? It's just not fair!
Where I feel what that place was, they were always in that same fucking thing, that like joint that they went and hung out at, and they were always there. That was the one set they had.
Like the
it was like a restaurant like the, or like something like that.
It was like an Orange Julius.
Yeah, something weird, like a cafeteria.
Yeah, and then there was those two bullies, the skinny kid and the fat kid.
Who thought up the plot for this?
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember those guys now.
So bad. Anyway, number 3.
I don't even know what this is.
Oh, you know what critters are?
I don't know what critters are.
The best scene from Critters is when the two critters are chasing this girl, and she gets a shotgun, she shoots them, and then it like blows up, and then it goes to the other critter, and he says something in like the critter alien language, and it just translates, like it has a subtitle, and it's just this, fuck!
No.
So epic.
My favorite part of the Critters was when they formed into a giant ball and just rolled over people, turned them into a skeleton.
Yeah, because I mean, okay, so bringing it down.
Or the episode, guy's in the rabbit costume. And there's a critter in with
him. Oh, yeah, I've seen this. I know, okay, I remember.
Oh, okay, yeah. But, like, at its very basic level, a critter is basically just a hairy ball with teeth. Like, it's in, like, the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Number four.
Horrifying.
Charles, why don't you take number four?
All right, I'll take number four. This is a movie that Nick had procured and rewatched. And I just recently watched the trailer because I wanted to reacquaint myself with it. But it's Chud, carnivorous humanoid underground.
Cannibalistic. Cannibalistic humanoid
underground. Oh, yeah, cannibalistic, not just carnivorous. So they emerge in the night and eat people and bust through walls, sinks, or anything.
Bust through sinks?
Yeah, that was actually one of the things in the video.
I'd be like, how do you bust through a sink?
There was a scene where a woman is washing her face and, like, all of a sudden blood squirts out the drain on the sink, and then a chud, like, erupts from underneath the sink.
Wasn't the cover like a chud coming out of the toilet, like?
Yeah.
I can remember that.
No, yeah. It was just chud coming out of the manhole.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
But
I think they made a chud, too.
The things just look like terrible gorillas. Just
I mean, they did look like cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
They did.
Terrible.
They're green.
Trash goo monsters. Chud.
I feel like I dropped a few chuds off the toilet before.
I definitely saw the title of the movie and laughed for like 10 minutes when I first saw it. I was just like, why is this the name of the movie? Chud.
That was what the federal government deemed them.
Yeah. That's the government name.
Mm-hmm. Everything related to the government has an acronym, so...
I feel like we should have a listener contest. Like, what is the best alternate meaning that you can come up with for the word chud? Like,
yeah.
Like, what? You know, like a
bonus points if you can implement two into it at the end somehow. God. All right.
Number five.
All right, I put this on here. This is the Tremor Monsters, these worm creatures in this movie. Oh my god. They're like these mini dune worms that bust out of the ground and eat people. This was
What were they called? Ass blasters? Who knows?
Yeah, I forget what they called them. But they were like, they made a bunch of movies out of it.
So many.
A lot
wasn't
of
Kevin
movies.
Bacon in the first one?
Yeah. I mean, the first one was not horrible, but then they all just kind of went... I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't, like, bad. It was at least semi-interesting.
Bacon should have been on this list.
Yeah. I think, you know, to be fair, I think the Tremors... What was good about Tremors is it was kind of like you weren't safe anywhere. You had to, like, be not on the ground, which was, like, hard to do. You know.
They're like in the basement, and then they just some busts out of the wall at them, and you're like, "What the hell?
Yeah.
This is shit." And they have this tongue.
I think the best part of the movie was the crazy guy with all the guns.
Mm-hmm. I think he's the only recurring character in all of the all of the movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has like a giant elephant gun that's like monstrous, and he takes it out and then shoots it. Like that's when it's like it comes to the basement, and, like it tries to attack him.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways.
Well, that brings us to what we're playing this week.
Oh, shit.
What are you playing, Tim?
Me? I'm not playing anything.
Nothing?
Well, I did play Wildstar a little bit They had like an extra beta weekend, and actually open beta is starting on Thursday, so I'll probably play some of that. But other than that, I got really, really bored and just hated life so much that I played WoW and leveled up another 90. And other than that, that's about it.
Nice. Steve?
Yeah, man, I've just been playing Dota. I broadcasted a little bit, streamed my Twitch channel last night. It's kind of weird, though, because when you stream, you like you don't really like talk because you're just there. And then after a while, you know, like, I mean, if there's people there, you like talk, right? Like, if someone was watching me play in real life, I would speak. I'd be like, oh, it's happened, whatever. But when you're just playing by yourself, sometimes you just like... So I was trying to stream a little bit, and it was working out, but it's a little weird because you're probably super boring to watch you just sit there and like and play. Because, I mean, I had like my webcam and then I also had in the game, so...
Yeah,
I did that, and I played some games on Kongregate, so that was also pretty crazy. And I've been playing Heroes of the Storm a little bit too, because Mikey and Ryan both got into Alpha.
Oh, cool!
And so now I have some people to play with, and we were playing, and it's a lot funner when you play with people because that game is a MOBA with objective based things like capturing points and stuff, and I think it's a lot funner when you have people to coordinate with. That's about it.
Nice.
Cool.
Charles, what are you playing?
Well, I finally beat Castlevania, Lord of Shadows. It was pretty good. It was difficult, but the ending came really quick. So then I started looking at the second one. Don't think I'm going to play it just yet. Oh, got Titanfall, so I was playing that a little bit today. And then I also got Dark Souls 2. And my first impressions from Dark Souls 2 is that I was initially really freaked out because they seemingly have ruined your ability to, like, set your key bindings. Because I played the last one on mouse and keyboard. I'm just not interested in buying another controller for it. So I try to do it with what I can. But there's really the initial key bindings for it were set up to be, like, Control, Alt, and right click, left click for like everything. So jump, attack, and I was like, oh god damn it, you can't just set it to you can't just set it to whatever you want either. It's not like you click it and it says please hit the key. It only gives you specific options. So I was freaking out about that, but then I realized when it says no, it just means that it reverts back. So I was experimenting with my keyboard. All things considered, it seems slightly easier because you can attack much quicker, or at least where I am at right now. So we'll see how it goes.
Nice. I played a couple things because the trophy war started this past week. I think there's 38 or 40 people entered, and I think I'm like 14th right now. But people, I don't know what people are doing, but they have a lot of time on their fucking hands. Because I've gotten like 55 trophies in the past, like 5 or 6 days.
Wow.
And some people are at like 160 something.
Damn.
That like the top 5 people have like 140 or more. Which I guess certain games, like if you like some of the Telltale Back to the Future and Jurassic Park games, those ones come with each episode is like an hour and a half, and then you get like 12 trophies per episode, like no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
So I haven't really played any of those, but games that I've actually been playing, I got the season 2 of The Walking Dead, the first and second episode on Vita. Story's really good. I really like Clementine as a character, and all the new characters that they've introduced are really, really good so far. Animation's a little glitchy on the Vita, so it's the transitions between scenes is kind of sloppy, but I've also played Trine 2. I've been playing through that with one of our listeners, Shifty, to
25. And let's see, Putty Squad, which is the worst game I've ever played in my entire life. which is apparently like a remake of an older game, but I got Gamefly for this month for the trophy war only because it was like they were inviting me back to get two games out at a time for $1 for this month, so I'm just gonna cancel like May 30th. But I played Stealth Inc., Clone in the Dark, and also Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate on Vita, which is pretty good. It's I don't know if you guys have played the Arkham games. You probably have, right?
Yeah, I haven't played the newest one, but I played the other ones.
So yeah, it's set up almost exactly like that, except it's not an open world. It's a side scroller, but it has like a weird 3D element to it. But the fighting mechanics are the same, and it's cool. It's kind of Metroidvania type platformer kind of stuff. So that's everything. That's everything I've been doing. Too much.
Now you know.
Now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
The more you know. All right. Anyways, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So, thank you, listeners. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 35. And it's late, so we're all going to bed.
Get out.
12:50.
Night night, night night gamers.
Steve. Oh, it sucks so bad and so unbalanced. Blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
The what?
Oh, we already have all five? Alright.
I don't know.
Where the hell have I been? Jesus Christ. Alright, let's do this.
I was just filling in nonsense. The video from Chud made me realize how great it is.
I just put down Oscar the Grouch. We really don't have to use that.
Yeah. Alright, that's good.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trashy, look at this.